Same old story. Boy finds girl, boy loses girl, girl finds boy. Boy forgets girl, boy remembers girl. And girl dies in a tragic blimp accident over the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day.
Good year?
No, the worst.
Oh, dear.
Dr. Fink is in the house. Real Rube Radio on.
This again, huh? Outstanding, Stevens. You rock so bad.
Is this like a special edited version that he did?
Well, we don't really talk about that.
Okay.
I don't know. I think he might have played on it. You ever heard this song before?
Yes.
You play bass, right? We love that bass line, too. Yeah.
Real Rube Radio, realruberadio.com. Drummer, Steelers. And the funkiest man on the planet, Matt Fink, Dr. Fink. Y'all know him, Revolution, NPG. He's in studio, and it is an absolute honor. There's a hero at the kitchen table, ladies and gentlemen.
Matt, you ever do it in the kitchen?
Right. Do what?
Anything.
Anything?
Cut carrots.
I've cooked things
really?
In the kitchen. But the laundry room is my favorite place because you can just sort of lay down in the laundry, you know.
Spin cycle, you know what I mean? You say.
Yeah, and you know, that Maytag vibrates really well. It's a good thing.
You got to love the Maytag.
Yeah, Maytag. Maytag moment.
Matt Fink, normally Steelers and drummer want to hear all our voices all the time, but today it's all about you. Welcome to the studio, pal.
Thanks.
It's
good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, sincerely. This is an intro, and I'm not just saying this. This is an intro that Steelers came up with about 3 months ago. It was never questioned. I mean, when we talk about Steelers guy, we do have Prince in mind and all the body of work that's happened. And that's not even making it up. That's real stuff. So we take what we are and we bring it to the folks out there in Real Radio, Real Rube Radio, that is, .com.
Can we start quizzing, you know? I've got about 6 million questions.
Okay.
Let's talk about Matt, what he's been up to, though.
Should we?
Yeah. That's one of them, right?
Starview or VU?
Starview Studios. Starview Recording Studios in Savage, Minnesota.
Cool. It's a nice place, by the way. Nice tune, by the way, when we were talking Lindrum.
Yes.
When I was over the other day. Those two tracks that I heard are hot.
Oh, thank you.
When is that going to be released, by the way? Can you elaborate on that? Who's out there? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a project. It was a collaboration called Insider. The name of the group is called Insider, and they're based in Brussels, Belgium.
Wow.
And the music on that project was co-written by me, Chris Vanderhaden, and Free Dominguez, who's the female vocalist on the project, and she's based in Los Angeles. She used to be a member of a group called the Kidney Thieves.
Wow, that sounds ugly.
Anybody familiar with that?
Okay. No, no,
I haven't heard it.
Anyway, they have a following, and. The first single from that project hopefully will be released within the next couple months.
Overseas?
Right now it's currently in negotiation with a label over there that wants to release it. They're just getting things together for it.
How do you do, when you say releases coming up? Nowadays the music industry is so screwed up with promotion. How do you actually get that out there? For people to actually hear, because, you know, you listen
record
to Top 40
are really
around
right
here. I mean, Top 40 is horrible in this market, and I'm sure it is across.
And you say record stores are hurting?
Yeah,
right now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They are. That's what I was at one the other night in Dinkytown. And they told you? Yeah, they told
the
me.
Salespeople said things were slow for them? Yeah.
You got to get the in-stores going. You got to get the artists coming back on tour, stopping in and getting that live thing going, you know?
Very important. There's a lot of new ways to promote music, but in particular right now, iTunes
is huge. It's
really big now, and you know if you can get on the front page for a while, first of all, that's one way.
If you're U2 and you go Super Bowl and you get an iTunes.
But yeah, they're gonna do a video for that single, and then it's gonna come out overseas first, more than likely. I don't even know if it'll make the U.S. market.
Are they gonna tour?
They'd like to tour. They'd like to tour. They want me to go on tour with them.
Nice.
But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. We have to see how the single goes, and then the rest of the album will follow. And
can you get the fire back in the belly to tour and go out and just live that thing? I mean...
Yeah.
You've had a big dose of it, more than a lot of people ever have in their whole life. But
I've been away from it for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So, but I've been kind of sitting in with people and playing locally just for fun.
Awesome, dude.
You know, to
glad
get out and do that every once in a while. I'll get out and do that. But, yeah, to do it to a serious tour with a group, yes, I'm ready to go. There's actually more than one offer on the table right now to do that.
Really?
By probably early next year, by March.
Miss it?
I've started to miss it. Yeah, in the last couple of years, I've missed it more.
Cool,
and
man.
More.
I love hearing
and,
that.
And the only reason that I didn't go out on the road with anybody all this time is I've been extremely busy, you know, running my studio and producing a lot of local artists and doing projects. You know, after leaving Prince at the end of '90, I got involved as a staff producer,
getting your producing career off the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Learning the ropes of that.
Cool.
And now I've been to school. And I think I'm...
Because a lot has changed since Purple Rain, baby.
Yeah, a lot has changed.
I haven't noticed.
You haven't. You live in a capsule, and it's purple, and it's insane. This museum that we have here is just, like I said, this is the real deal here. This is not made up, Fink. We're not apologizing once.
No,
but that was part of the reason. And then my family, you know, having kids and having little kids around.
Couple of kids.
Yeah, and I wanted to be around for them, you know, when they're in their earlier forming years, and now I feel they're old enough.
How old are they now?
They're 10 and almost 11 and 9 now. And
if you want to say hi to them, feel free to.
Hey, boys. How you doing, dudes?
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll hear the show.
Yeah. They want to come out and meet me on tour, and we're talking about it, and they're ready to go, and I'm going to do it. So it's just a matter of time and the right project. But, yeah, there's a really serious offer, but I can't go into detail.
I want to go on tour with you, dude. I'll play drums, and I'll go on tour with Matt Fink, and you and I will just go and have coffees. And relax.
What about me?
Yeah. You want to go on tour, Steelers?
Can I go on tour, too?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You don't care.
I'll do something.
Yeah,
I can play a little bit of piano, not quite like this man, but I can do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a good singer. You win
anything.
You win a lot of contests in town.
Yeah, I do okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're speaking a tour.
Yeah.
First time you started out young, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into, did you get a call from Prince or his band or his people, or did you were all in the same circle, so it just kind of worked that way? You know, from an outsider, you look at it like, you know,
how do these guys get together? You know,
you look at the different tours and stuff, and it's just got to be
the chemistry or the breaks or the luck or, you know, because one time back in, I'm telling you the truth, it was like '81, and I was practicing downtown Minneapolis, and I'm not kidding, my buddy and my Mike Mann and myself walked right out, and we banged right into Prince and Des Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to like go to First Avenue, like, you know, just like Purple Rain, man.
Yeah.
Just walk around. It was about getting the gigs and. Those guys were just walking around, man, the First Avenue, getting gigs like anyone else.
Exactly, yeah.
And I remember that, man. We banged right into them right outside our rehearsal space. I freaked.
First of all, you know, the early years, you know, the first couple of years I was in the band, we were playing showcase clubs and small venues just like everybody else, you know, trying to, you know, get over with the fans. And
really,
you know,
working hard. I mean,
really
like
working
anybody
hard.
Else.
Yeah, we had the, you know, just like any band starting out. So... And as far as how I met Prince, that was through Bobby Z, the original drummer, who was working for Prince's first manager at the time, Owen Husney. So Bobby came out to one of my gigs with this other group I was playing with it back in like summer of '77. You know,
cool, man.
And he had Prince's demo in his hand, and he took me out to his car and he played me the demo. And I said, wow, who's this guy? You know, it's really cool. He goes, yeah, this is, you know, Prince.
Man.
And he played everything, did everything, da-da-da-da-da. And I just went, ooh, that's really cool. And he's my age? And the guy goes, yeah. You know, I mean, at the time, I think I was 18 or 19.
Right.
And so I said, hey, as soon as he's ready to form a band, you let me know. Because I'm down for that. I'm interested in meeting him and being involved with this project.
Summer of 77, you say.
That's when I first heard Prince's demo. And then it wasn't until late... 78, about October, when he was still hunting around for band members, and I was like the last piece in his puzzle at that time. He had the whole band together. He even had a guy to play keyboards before me, but he didn't stay in the group long enough to make it happen. So he had to scramble a little bit there at the end of 78 because he wanted to get going, and he's going to start.
You were one of the horses that stayed on because you guys took those long rides on the buses, West Coast.
Sure.
I mean, you went out there and really, like, paid your dues, dude.
But that November, you know, I auditioned with a bunch of other guys, and then I got in. He picked me out of all those folks.
Cool. We're getting calls for you right now. and that's not surprising here. We're breaking new ground. We have a phone system here at RealRealRadio.com.
We do? I was unaware.
And
so you're out. You get the gig. Early on, was it just basically for the recording of it or the touring of it or doing live shows? Or did you guys collaborate on, you know, my guess from knowing enough about the band was that he'd have an idea pretty much on what's going on and then bring everybody else into it. Is that correct?
As far as when he was recording the albums or writing the songs? No, that process varied from song to song and album to album. It wasn't until about the Dirty Mind album, the third album, that he started collaborating with other members in the group. And bringing, you know, he had people, you know, kind of doing a little bit of session work on the second album, but not much. First album, he did all by himself.
Right.
Second album, pretty much all by himself, as far as I know. But then, you know, the third album, he brought myself in here and there, you know, had to play a little on it, and I had a co-write on the song Dirty Mind with him.
Yep.
And then Controversy, had the band come in, do a little session work. And then progressively, as time went on, it was more and more, like, by the time we got to Purple Rain, half of that album, the band played all the tracks live in the studio with him, you know. But he was really the main writer, you know, throughout the majority of it. Main writer, main producer, you know. And
did you guys ever play the Longhorn? Remember the Longhorn Bar downtown or, you know?
No, we never did the Longhorn. Okay. No, it was really...
Because you know that whole era. Punk rock was...
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You're talking 77.
Sure.
You're talking about The Clash and everybody else.
I saw The Police
Elvis
there.
Elvis Costello.
Yeah, when I saw The Police first time.
Where was that stuff in your head musically? Because, you know, here you are, you're getting ready to join something, and you still got to go out and prove. Prince has still got to go out. He's got the record deal. He still has to go out and win it and prove it.
Well, Prince was in the late 70s, the first couple albums were very R&B pop. You know, it wasn't until Dirty Mind that he kind of went to this other mixture of R&B pop and punky attitude rock thing. You know, pop or funk, you know, punk, you know, it's kind of what you want to look at. But, you know, so really, you know, he was, you know, on the cutting edge of a lot of things, you know, he was mixing and melding a lot of styles, obviously. So I loved that era. I loved all the stuff that was going on. You know?
I guess from an outsider, my point was like, you still got to go out every day and get the gigs and, you know, put the posters up, go out, you know, and spend the time behind the scenes to make that thing break. It doesn't happen overnight.
Well, fortunately for Prince, he had the Warner Brothers record label engine.
Yeah, you know, that helps sometimes.
And we will talk about the engine because when that thing gets rolling, baby, it's huge.
And back then, you know, the engine was healthy. Right now, the engine's a little, needs a tune-up.
Hey, anybody out there ill in the dock is in the hissay. Yeah.
Dr. Fink, Steelers drummer, Real Roop Radio. It's all about positivity here. We'll be back right after this.
Real Roop
Radio, RealRoopRadio.com, drummer, Steelers, cast of three.
back. It's your show today, man. It's all you.
It's all about you. Go ahead.
What am I doing? It's all about me?
Get away from that ice machine over there. Come on. He's in the green room having all kinds of fun. He's got chips. He's got chocolate over here.
Just remember, folks.
Get away from that.
Ultrasound is not about...
I was going to ask that.
It's not about babies.
It's a funky-ass CD, by the way.
Huh?
It's a funky-ass
CD.
It's
funky, yes.
Best
funky.
Song, in my opinion, number two.
Ah.
Ecstasy.
You like that one.
Oh, God. I think
he gets that, he gets that
funky.
Song.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad you like that. All right.
So the doc is in the house. Real Room Radio, realroomradio.com. It's time for the Blitz, everybody. You ready for it? What was the first tour like? And big tour, and is it true you were booed off the stage by the Rolling Stones crowd in Los Angeles, was it? Maybe 81 controversy tour opening up for the Stones?
Correct. But it wasn't the controversy tour. It was Dirty Mind album.
I've got to know things like that. I'll get better. I'm sorry.
That was not the first big tour. I mean, the first big tour we did was with Rick James, where we were warm-up back.
Yep.
For Rick James, and started in late 79, like November, and went through it to April of 1980. And then the Stones thing happened like late in, was it maybe early 81? Late 80, early 80. I can't remember.
Now, now you're giving me a little credibility. You told me I was wrong, and all of a sudden we're moving up to 81.
But you're dating me now. Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, I can't remember.
Yeah, but
you're
a cheap date, so I mean, that's the beauty about that.
Okay. So, yes, touring. What?
Okay, all of a sudden you're a headliner, right? You're starting to get known.
It wasn't all of a sudden, dude. Was it?
No, but I mean going from being an opening act to controversy, you know, Dirty Mind to controversy, and then when 1999 hit, the Minneapolis Sound, I mean, that's when you guys, when the revolution, Prince and the Revolution, became something. I mean, I was 11, and that's when I started going, damn, I went from Van Halen and AC/DC to Prince and the Revolution in a matter of 4 months.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty big wake-up call.
Because the music itself was a little bit, you know... It was different, man. You guys were taking chances.
It was a departure from just
your heavy metal,
top 40 rock bands. That's for sure.
You came off with, you know, the Zeppelin era was moving on down the road, and it was time for the new power generation too, and everything else that moved on down.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in front of 20,000 people. What's the stomach like? You grew up doing it, so yeah, you went from crowds of probably 15 to 200 to 1,000 to 1,200. Blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you're sitting at Met Center or wherever.
Wembley
Stadium playing in front of 80 grand. I mean,
what was that like,
stomach?
Man? What was the food like? I always want to know about food.
F you in the food. Back to Wembley.
Backstage food can be good and sometimes it can be bad. It all depends on the caterer and who's making it. One time I was down south, right? I'm down south.
Cut open a couple of veins for us, man.
I'm in Birmingham, and I'm sitting next to Des Dickerson, and we're eating the backstage food, and I'm eating what I think is noodles, some like kind of wide noodles in a really nice brown sauce.
This is going to go bad.
It tasted really good.
No, man, I haven't eaten anything.
I really liked it. And so I turned to Des. I said, man, this is good. What is this? And he looks at me and goes, well, those are chitlins, Matt. I go, chitlins? I've heard of chitlins. Just what are chitlins, Des? He goes, why, those are pig intestines, Matt.
Great.
Grand, thanks.
I don't eat those. I refuse to eat pig intestines, Matt. And you're eating them. What do you think?
I loved them.
I went, well, now that I like them, I don't know. I might keep going with that again someday. But that was it. That was the last time I ate chitlins.
What about the fast food thing? Not much fast food on the road?
My God, we have one hour with this man, and now we're talking fast food.
Well, I just want to get down to the basics of the touring thing. It's not all beautiful.
Sure, we did fast food once in a while. Sure. If you had to, we'd be on the bus, and it was like, oh, man, we got to make a pit stop, you know, and we'd go get McDonald's or whatever, Burger Schling or whatever on the road. Sure, we tried everything.
How about I'm going to go ADD on you. How about Paisley Park? Your thoughts on Paisley Park?
Oh, Paisley Park is cool. Definitely a cool place.
Yeah, that whole era. You know, I recorded a record out there with the Magnolias back late 80s in the B studio.
Yeah.
And we would go out there and just do our record, punk rock. And we get to the refrigerator, and there was all kinds of extra food, you know?
Yeah, that's because people were always leaving their
and they
stuff.
And they had the lady that was living there and cooking all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so my point is, man, we'd chow the best food out there, and it was all leftover, but it was all top of the line laid out.
Yes, it was good. It was definitely good stuff.
First class, like rock star stuff. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But that wasn't for me.
No.
Not you.
Okay, so we're back to playing 20,000 people in the audience.
Oh, yeah, 20,000. Yeah, we didn't quite get to that question.
We really didn't.
What was it like to play for all the people and get ready for a tour? Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three, two, bass, go.
Here you go. We would rehearse really hard. I mean, we'd rehearse for, you know, to get the show as tight as we could. And opening night would come. And invariably, every opening night, I had butterflies. I'll be the first to admit it. Always was, you know, but not like bad to the point of debilitating, but just nervous and anxious, you know, like ready to go, let's go kind of thing. Anxious, adrenaline to get out and do it. Excitement, you know, but also nerves, you know, little fluttery things. And then as soon as I'd get out there and the show would get underway after once the first song goes by, I'm relaxed.
Then you're good.
Then I'm good. And that was always opening night. It was like that every tour. And I don't know how the other band members felt, but they some of them told me they had the same thing. But then once the tour is underway and things are going, I was over that, and I'd get up, I'd be relaxed, you know, ready to go on stage, and you know, much less nerves.
Was it ever a thing of actually? This probably sounds jackass like, but mm-hmm. I'm not a great piano player, so if I'm playing live in front of somebody, I'm actually hoping I play it correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, is it anything like that, or is it just a timing thing? And you guys had so many things controlled, you know, Lindrum, that kind of stuff. Where I mean,
I know because the music was breaking new ground a little bit with all the electronics that was coming on, man.
There were technical, new, innovative things going on.
And the drumming that was going on in the early stages was just weird drum beats because it's no drum beats that I would ever try to copy at any band practice.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even dare.
Mm-hmm.
Just what was going on? It was just moving different directions.
Right. Yeah, Prince was very innovative at his drum programming and playing, and you know, and Bobby Z did a great job, you know, holding down the fort, as they say. But you know, the point is that Prince is and was in those days, and still is, so dedicated,
right,
to his craft. More so than just about any artist I know of. I don't really know. I don't know the habits of all the, you know, major rock personalities.
The woodshedding, the preparation.
But from what I've read and what I do know, I feel like Prince is probably one of the top as far as the amount of hours and dedication that he puts into his craft.
Is that tough to do, knowing his schedule? Because I would imagine you had to pretty much go with that schedule. I mean, the stuff that, as a novice, that I've heard of the hours.
Was it
fast-paced?
Yeah, but the rehearsal schedules, you know, would usually, I'd get in by, you know, 11 in the morning.
They'd
start at noon, you know, usually, and go till 8 at night, that kind of thing, on average. Sometimes they'd go later, but let's see. But I would try to get in always early. I'd try to get in an hour in advance to go over stuff before he got there.
Right.
Because if you weren't on top of your game when he showed up,
wow,
and you didn't know something, or you didn't rehearse your parts or weren't ready for that rehearsal, he wouldn't be a happy camper.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
he set the bar really high for everybody.
He set the bar high. He made you, you know, really toe the line as well, right along with him, and know your stuff.
It paid off.
Yeah, well, sure it paid off. I thank him for that. I thank him for that kind of discipline and dedication, because I don't think without him, I would have totally gone there.
I
would have.
It's great having you here at Real Rube Radio today. And we appreciate you coming in. There's a lot. I'll be honest. Steelers is the pro on the whole Prince deal. You know, where was Erotic City in your life? Where was? Tell me about that.
Where was Erotic City?
Yeah. Were you? You know.
Where's it located?
Where was that song made?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, we know where it's made. Yeah. We know where it's located. It's one county over.
Yeah.
No. Say that was a question.
Erotic
again?
City.
How is it made?
You like that song?
I love that song, but that was one of those things that Prince did You know, that was
sure.
All
that's
him.
What I'm just saying. There's so much. B-side. There's so much different. You know,
that was one of his things that he just walked in one day and goes, "Hey, check this out, guys."
Yeah, know? Like
okay,
I'm just
now learn it.
Some of your favorite Prince songs.
Here
you
go. Here are the parts. And
you know, some of your favorite Prince songs would be, you know, top. Let's say top five.
Top five. Oh, I hate this question.
Okay. How about songs that you played on? You know?
I get this question all the time.
Songs that you played on that you really helped, like you were there when the
Head.
Well, yeah, yes, Head. You know, but I, you know, it's hard for me to answer that question.
Sure.
She wrote so much stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. You know,
stuff that we probably even never came out.
There's stuff that never came out that I've played on. It's still sitting.
Yeah,
that
probably
there.
Kicks butt.
Yeah, there's good stuff, but you know what?
The Vault.
hard question to answer.
Sure.
I don't know if I can answer it very well. I've tried.
About,
I've tried.
How about top five Matt songs? Matt Fink, you know, when you're recording solo stuff.
For
that
me?
That you want to pimp for yourself, that you would say. I know that's another hard question, but go ahead. Tell me. There's got to be some that you were really excited about when you left the recording studio and said, hey, you know what? That's really the way I feel about what's going on in my life or, you know.
Well, first of all, I only have one solo album out there.
Okay.
That came out in 01. And out of the material on that album, I'd say there's a song called Nobody Cried for Robin, which I really like.
I was going to ask you about that. Songs, what is that about?
And the song Save Me. There's a song called Save Me on there that I really like a lot.
Cool, because there's a bunch of people out in Radio Land that want to know all kinds of stuff about where you've been lately and what you're up to.
Nobody Cried for Robin was based on an experience I had overseas in Switzerland on tour with Prince, where we were staying in one of the main cities in Switzerland.
Zurich.
We were in Zurich. Sorry, thank you. And there's a hotel there that we would always stay at the same place. I've been there like 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in 1988 and then again in 1990 when I was there. They were still there. There was this park right next door to the hotel. And all the heroin drug addicts would gather there to get free syringes and needles from the government because they were running a program to help prevent AIDS,
right,
spread
yeah.
of AIDS. So they were handing out needles and all this stuff to everybody, and it was legal for them to go there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked in the park one day, and the rest of the band members had walked in there to just hang out, and they all had their video cameras, and they were out, da-da-da. And all of a sudden, they came upon this scene with all these people waiting in line and hanging out, and all these emaciated drug people were there, and they were collecting their, getting their needles and syringes.
Wow.
And we walked up to somebody and said, what's this all about? And then we had this whole program explained to us, and the people really got upset when some of the band members started taking pictures of them and video
right.
cameras, and they didn't want their privacy or be on camera. So that's what the song is about drugs, drug
cool.
addicts.
Wow. Well, we'll be able to pimp your stuff on the internet here pretty soon.
DrFink.com Ultrasound is the CD. It's absolutely wonderful. 2001, it still sounds brand new. You got to put on some new music, dude.
Soon.
Yeah,
soon
we want to play on it. At least one song.
All about us again. Real Rube Radio, RealRubeRadio.com, Drummer Steelers, Dr. Fink, and the Hizzy. We'll be back right after this. Hold on. Track two, wouldn't it? A little ecstasy, you say. No. No, we're not doing drugs on realroofradio.com.
This is about real ecstasy, not the druggy kind.
Real Roof Radio, realroofradio.com, back, drummer, Steelers, Matt, Doctor, Fink, Revolution, MPG, the man, the myth, the legend. He's in-house. We're having at. What up?
Matt, what's the biggest crowd you ever played to live? And where was it?
I think it was 90,000 at the Orange Bowl in Florida.
Was that the end of the Purple Rain tour?
Steelers,
yes.
Steelers?
End of the Purple Rain.
Let's go Howard Stern. Yeah, give it up
yeah,
for
you
him.
You got to do it.
Anybody know how much the Superdome in New Orleans holds? Anybody? That was a big one,
that
too.
Was pretty close.
They couldn't figure it out for that storm they had.
No. Thank God I wasn't down there for that. But anyway.
Is it wrong that I knew when you mentioned the Orange Bowl that it was the end of the Purple Rain tour, the last day?
No, but you knew.
I know.
It's just a coincidence. It was a flip of a coin.
Speaking of Purple Rain tour.
Steelers, this is all you, this segment, but it's all about you.
We're turning drummer's microphone off. Zeep it. Purple Rain tour. Before that, recording the album, the producers came up, told you that all of a sudden you're going to be doing a movie. Well, one, were you comfortable in front of the camera? Two, obviously you were familiar with recording at First Avenue. And three, did you have any idea how massive this was going to take you? I mean, 1999 was a big album.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could have compared you for Purple Rain and what went on from there.
Well, of course, I had an inkling of it. You know, I kind of thought, well, okay, this thing could break pretty good. I was hoping it would. At least, you know, gain a lot of popularity from it. Also, it was exciting because it was like a dream come true to be involved in a project like that. And, you know, I remember the day Prince came to me, it was at the end of the 1999 tour. He sat down with me and he said, by the way, we're going to do a movie. Just like that. So get ready.
Where were you sitting? I mean, in Minneapolis.
I was in Indianapolis somewhere, just in the hotel restaurant. He came down and sat at my table. I was having a little bite lunch or something, and he just sat down with me and announced to me that, you know, we're going to do a movie, and
cool.
You know, on the next album is going to be based on the movie and the whole thing.
Was all that music recorded already?
No.
And that was pretty raw.
No, that was not even in the works yet. At that time, maybe one or two songs, but that was it at that time. So
a vision was already started.
The vision was started. They were lobbying Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers Films and everybody to get behind the project. It all, you know, it was difficult actually for them to get it going, but they did. They managed to get it going properly and get the investment in it. And the budget was not as robust as they would have liked because of the risks that were involved in this kind of project. And but they made it work.
It was a risk,
nonetheless. But they made it work, and it was successful, and the rest is history. But it was great, you know. And we prepared for the movie and filming the movie by rehearsing and taking, you know, acting and dance kind of things that Prince set up for us, and rehearsing. We had like a rehearsal space over in St. Louis Park there. And I grew up in St. Louis Park, which was really bizarre that he would have rented a space in my where I grew up, you know. But at that time I was living in Uptown, you know, which wasn't far from there anyway.
And that space could have been anywhere.
Yeah. So here I am. I'm like just a few blocks from where I went to high school, and I'm practicing music for this upcoming movie, and I'm taking working with an acting coach, and I'm doing dance classes with this other guy, and I'm doing like Broadway dance.
What does Dr. Fink look like in leotards? That's what I want to know.
I looked fucking. Oh, excuse me. I looked hot. You better bleep that one.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
Sorry, I looked hot. And I was dancing with John Command, who was like our dance teacher. And I'll tell you know, it was really fun. I used to do the Jane Fonda workout every day with him.
Wow.
Along with the band. We'd go in there and we'd do Jane Fonda. and then we started doing, you know, like move from, you know, Cats and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I was in shape. I was buff and I was in shape, best shape of my life.
Where were you getting the scrubs, man? Everybody at KFAN wanted to know. We were asking that question. What would you ask Dr. Fink? Most of them just said, hey, what? The scrubs, the mask, you know, where you
that's what Paul Allen wanted to know is, what's up with the doctor outfit, get up, the scrubs, and same with Joe Anderson asked the same thing.
The scrubs were originally purchased in Chicago on the Rick James tour when I decided to become the doctor at that point.
Just out of the blue, you went, hey, I got an idea.
Well, yeah, it was kind of...
It's a great bit, but it really is.
Hard to explain. Long story. But,
you got a sense of humor off the bat, man, if you're pulling that thing off. You're my guy.
But you know? Yeah, but we decided I was going to... I decided to be the doctor at that point, and then we got the scrub suits from a real uniform shop and everything, and that was it.
What did Prince think about the doctor?
He loved it. He was kind of lobbying for me to be the weird guy anyway.
Man, that's great.
He came up to me and goes, Matt, can you get weird?
You're going to fit in this radio show with us. In fact, we're going to go out and ink a deal with Matt over Happy Meals, and we're going to get
him. Yeah, we really are.
We're going to have him part of the madness on a regular basis.
Okay.
Got questions? Go ahead, Steelers. Okay.
You're all across the board on Purple Rain.
All right.
You're playing sold out. By the way, thanks for waving to me. I was in the crowd December 28th, 1984 with my mom.
No
St.
kidding.
Paul
Did
Civic
I actually
Center.
Wave at you personally?
I don't know.
You
I
thought
probably,
I was.
I probably make things up. I thought you were waving at me.
Okay.
But, all right, let's move on from Purple Rain. Around the World in a Day.
Yeah.
When you first heard that project, how it was going, the sound of it, were you blown away by how different it was from Purple Rain? I mean, that was a Sgt. Pepper's black or white album, so to speak, kind of difference from that to Around the World in a Day. I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, it was pretty complex stuff. It was very challenging for the band to capture live, too, because it was a very studio-oriented album with a lot of layering and a lot of stuff. So, yeah, it was really cool. But, Prince definitely outdid himself and challenged the group to rise to the occasion on that one.
Hey, what about Roadhouse Garden, Prince and the Revolution's unreleased album?
What's going to happen?
Will it ever
that?
Be released? You know, what does it sound like? Why wasn't it released?
I don't know.
You don't have to talk about anything.
I don't really know what's going to happen with that.
The Lost Sessions, huh?
I think he's making attempts to maybe do something with it now, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's been
there's a little rumors about stuff, it, but I don't know.
Even on his website about Roadhouse Gardener, he's hooked up with Wendy and Lisa here and there at the Brit Awards, stuff like that. Do you have any contact with? Not just him, but any of the Revolution MPG?
I speak to Bobby Z occasionally these days, you know, every maybe month, once a month, maybe. Depends.
What is he doing right now? I should know this, but I don't.
He's doing a lot of, like, what I'm doing. He's producing and doing music business-related stuff. He's more on the business side now than producing, from what he's told me.
Pretty innovative drummer.
Yeah, but he's involved with a couple record companies here in town and doing stuff for them, putting compilations together and things like that. But, and he works out of another studio up in New Hope called...
I know the name of this.
Winterland now. It's called Winterland, and he has his office up there.
Recording Sign of the Times between live shots and being out at Paisley.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a pain in the ass to do the live shots at Paisley and work them both together? Or was that an easy movie because you had so much live shots other than the little innuendos in between?
It was easy. All we did was we just played. You know, we just did our thing and they just shot the movie and it was easy to do.
What was your favorite tour?
That's another. They're all good, man.
Yeah,
they were all good. They were all fun.
There is no favorite.
They were all great. A lot of fun.
Was it weird? Love Sexy being in the round?
Very cool. I liked it. You know, some fans loved that and some didn't. You know, I was talking to someone the other day who said they didn't care for that
really as
much. Yeah, and I liked it. I thought it was, and a lot of fans raved about that tour.
I thought it was awesome.
And it was awesome. It was an awesome
September 13th, 14th, 1988.
And it was one of the first concerts where you kind of had surround sound in the arena. You had like stuff up in the arena doing surround stuff. It was so cool.
It just doesn't get any better than Purple Rain, though.
Yeah. Well, Purple Rain was big, you know.
I mean, even, you know, it's got legs, man.
And you're young at that point. Are you blown away by what you are actually doing? Or is it just you're in that lifestyle, so it's no big deal? Oh, by the way, I got to play in front of 25,000 people 8 nights in a row in Detroit.
Well, for a guy like myself who grew up in the Midwest and I wasn't exposed to the L.A. music machine, or maybe in New York and where the music centers are. And we're all
sheltered life, you say.
Well, we're just coming up from a Midwest kind of existence and then getting involved in a really popular group like that. Yeah, it's extremely exciting. Something that I always wanted to do. So yes, I had to pinch myself at times when I was in that period going.
You took in the moments along the way, didn't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Way to go. I'm glad you did that, man.
Because you really have to appreciate it and not take it for granted and go, this is really something and really...
That probably enabled you to go on with, like you said, family and, you know, life after Prince.
But it's a huge opportunity for guys like me, myself or any musician in anywhere, but in particular coming from here. Because there were a lot of artists that were, you know, coming out of Los Angeles.
How about
Angeles
local artists in Minneapolis here? You know, you can tell me about a couple that you've, you know... that you like, or local artists in Minneapolis here? You kind of keep up with the local scene here?
Yes, a little bit. Uh-huh. A little bit.
There's so much of it that how could you? You know, it's constantly changing, and there's a gazillion bands out
there.
That's
there,
one
there's
thing's for sure.
So many. There's a group called These Modern Socks that I'm familiar with that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Ever heard of them or seen them play live?
No.
They're really innovative. They do some really cool stuff.
How about Greasy Meal? You ever checked out some of their shows?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm working with Julius Collins,
the
lead
really?
Singer, next week. He's coming into my studio to do some session
Julius
work
is a
for
great
me.
Guy.
Fantastic. Juice rocks.
Yeah, yeah. He's
Tell
coming
him
he
said
in.
Hello.
Yeah, he's coming in to work on something with me. He also worked on another album a few months ago that I was working on out of the studio as well to do some vocal work.
It's great news that you want to get back and tour and get out and, you know, not so much get in the bus and be out there, you know, 100 days in a row, but not that you couldn't. But, you know,
right.
You want to get back out and keep the options open. It's kind of in your blood again, and I think that's very exciting.
Yeah.
It just comes and goes in waves like that. And you know, I'd love to be on stage with you somewhere rocking out, even if we drag you down some bar in Minneapolis here some night. Get ready, because we're going to kidnap you, take you out some night. You're coming to Minneapolis. Steelers and drummer are coming after Matt Fink. We're dragging you downtown.
Okay.
And we're just going to go up on some stage. It could be the Caboose.
Yeah.
It might be 7th Street Entry. And you don't think they wouldn't let you on stage and we'll just take over the joint?
Sure, why not?
NPG or the Revolution?
NPG or the Revolution? NPG or the Revolution? They're both hot groups, you know. they each had their own special kismet, as they say.
Was the Revolution, I'll answer the question partially for you, just because you guys started way at the beginning and grew huge. I mean, is that more family, more home for you? Because you guys went from, you know, being, pardon the pun, absolute zero musicians, as all of us start out before you get recognized, to all of a sudden the heights that nobody could imagine.
Yes, I have to say that the Revolution has a special place in my heart. There was a special chemistry with that group, no question.
Look at your watch. How much more time do you have?
Oh, I don't know, about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
We're going to come back.
15.
By the way, were you on the Madhouse project at all?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I played on a couple tracks on each album.
Got all of them, by the way.
And I did the live tour.
I got all your albums.
When we were on tour on Sign of the Times, I was in the band doing the warm-up shows for the Sign of the Times.
You're such a stage hog, too, man. You just
I'm a ham.
You don't let anybody else play, man.
I'm a big ham.
You're my guy.
Thanks for bringing that tour to the U.S. You
just
know,
call me Hammy.
No. Kind of wanted to see Sign of the Times.
We love the doc.
We'll be right back. Real Rube Radio, right. RealRubeRadio.com. Matt Fink, he's the master. He rules. Drummer Steelers. We're just small little squirrels in search of the proverbial nut.
Oh, yeah, Nebulosity. This is one of Prince's favorite songs on my album. This one. He loved this. He told me
song.
That he personally said, I really liked that one track.
This might be nice.
And this was before he'd even heard the whole album. He'd only gotten through about the first five songs, and he... And heard this
sounds
track.
Kind of romantic here.
It
this
is. It's,
like
it's, this is
massage music.
Chill out music. Yeah. This is chill out track. Yeah.
I'm thinking massage oil at this point.
RealRubeRadio.com. Chill out to Nebulosity, Dr. Fink. You write all this yourself? You playing all the instruments?
Yep, except for the guitar.
Are you a guitar player at all?
Not much. A little bit. But I brought in...
Love the long string sustain, swelling of the strings there. I don't like all the sometimes, but, you know, ragtime stuff. But I don't like a lot of percussive stuff right now in my mind making music these days.
Right.
I like just stuff that just holds and just... You know, as the Rubes know, I'm a big Coldplay guy. And they're big piano and keyboard guys. Your thoughts?
Yep. Love Coldplay. Great.
Cool.
Bring me on a guest track. I'd love to collaborate with him.
I can make that happen for you.
Make it happen.
I will.
Love to collaborate.
Full circuit to Chris Martin. By the way, Dr. Fink wants to play on Coldplay's next CD. Let's get it done. Oh, by the way, drummer and Steelers also want to play on that.
Yeah.
Coattails riding.
I hear crickets. No, this is like theater of pain music. I want to get this, man, because, you know, you have your girl over sometimes, Steeler. Oh, wait a second. Crickets again.
Nice joke. Producing music for video games.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Oh, as far as what I did for video games, this was all kind of stuff for Activision and a company called Head Games Video Games out of Minneapolis, St. Paul area here. And then Activision came in and took them over, and I did a few things with them as well. They were all pretty much PC extreme sports oriented games, you know.
Like, you can make a lot of money doing stuff in video games.
Yeah, yeah. They had a whole series of extreme sports games that I did the music for. You know, like extreme water sports, extreme kayaking,
extreme makeover.
You name it. It was extreme, including frisbee golf. You know, but anyway, and I don't see how frisbee golf could be extreme, but they did it. Extreme mountain biking.
So
you had like guys going over cliffs and stuff.
What do you do for hobbies? You like any? You know, what do you do besides do your music? You got family. That's all beautiful. But what else do you like? What does Matt Fink like to do when he gets a few messed up?
I like golfing.
Yeah,
really?
Golfer. Yeah, you're our guy. We're golfing this year.
Golf. Nice work.
I'm a golfer.
You just tapped into a bunch of free golf.
Cool. I'm a golfer.
Yeah, you're our guy.
What do you shoot? What's your average?
You know, my handicap is like about 10 to 15.
Do you take mulligans?
I take one aside. You know, maybe one on the front, one on the back. Okay. Maybe
we know a guy that starts over every time. He starts on the
that's
first.
Cole, the common man. You say
no. I don't. I can't do too many. I don't believe.
Hey, one
in
big
it.
Question yeah. before we go, and we'll burn off a couple more here. But seriously, if the call ever comes, you know, you get Sting and Stuart Copeland, Andy Summers back to Police reunion. Several of these guys they want to do big reunions. What if someday you get the call, Revolution? You're all.
What, are you going to make me cry here?
No, can we... I mean, don't answer that now, but you ever think, like, that could happen sometime? I mean...
The Roadhouse Garden Tour 2008, you know, Prince and the Revolution.
That would just blow people's minds.
Well, a grown man crying.
If he's ready and willing, I know I am.
Cool.
I know that the Revolution definitely would be down for that.
Goosebumps.
You know,
just thinking about it, dude.
I have a sick stomach now.
Yeah. So, we have to go on and carry on our show when you leave, and Lord knows what that's going to be like, but it's going to be awesome.
American Idol fan?
Yes.
Are you really?
Keep up with it.
Yeah.
I TiVo it every time.
Is
I
your
watch
favorite?
It.
Is he still in or is he out? Is your guy
yes, he's...
Taylor Hicks?
No. I liked
Elliot?
I like Chris.
Chris Daughtry.
She's the hot chick. There's only two left. One dude and one chick, right?
But I do like the girl, McPhee.
Yeah.
What was her first name again? Can't remember now.
I don't know. I've never watched the
show. And Taylor's cool. You know what? I liked all three of those guys. They were tough to choose between.
Well, the running joke is now that she sits down every time she wants to sing, okay? She sits down, and Taylor does this thing where his two knees touch.
Yeah.
And he squats, and he kind of does this thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Taylor Hicks could go down the road as like a Michael McDonald, kind of a touch of a soulful guy.
Yeah, he is very,
you know, I'm a big Bo Bice guy. Have you heard the new Bo Bice music
yet?
Yes,
it's good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well recorded, and we have it here in studio.
Yeah, I like Bo, too. They're all good.
Go ahead, Stairs. You got me all hyped on
it. It's a great show. I love it. I love keeping up with it. And this new next thing that's coming out called, it's like America's Talented show is coming out on the 21st, which is also a Simon. It's also a Simon Cowell show. And that's going to be like different stuff besides singers. It's going to be performers.
Jugglers.
They're going to let people, you know, actually play guitar and sing and jugglers and dancers and you name it. You know, so that should be interesting, too, and funny. Anyway, go ahead. Next.
By the way, all the people out listening, Starview Studios.
Yes.
Matt Fink was nice enough to. He knows that all of you trust our opinion, so Drummer and I are actually going to be recording an entire album free of charge. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Matt, we appreciate
you are
that.
A giver.
Oh no!
And
here we go.
We'll be over in about an hour and a half to start recording.
Wait a minute. I'm going to start your car for you, man. We're going to be. I'll drive you over there. No, seriously, I've been to the studio, and it is a wonderful, world-class facility. And people come over from all over the world there. And Rube's out there, if you want to come over and do a demo tape, cut a demo tape, or, you know, go ahead and make the whole album there.
Can they reach you at drfink.com, or where's the best place to go?
Drfink.com is good. You got to spell that out, D-O-C-T-O-R-F-I-N-K.com,
correct.
And, in order to get there. But, you know, you go into the search engine, Matt Fink, that'll get you to my website.
Go to Google Dr. Fink, and hit up
Google.
Fink. You'll get
And you'll be there for a while, too.
I'm easy to reach.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's
but,
been,
but not too easy.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah, next time we're going to try to, I don't know, we got to get some chips and cheese or something to get you over to the baby grand piano about 3 feet behind my back. But one of these times, maybe in the dog days of summer or drummer this summer, we'll get
Ryman
you.
Simon, you say.
Yeah, we'll get you on the piano, and maybe I'll bring a little drum set over here, and we'll go nuts for the Rubes out here live. It'd be chancy. It'd be chancy stuff, you know.
All right.
I mean, we'll get in the moment. We'll write it on the spot is what I'm saying.
Cool.
I want to thank you for showing up. You ever done a recording show in the kitchen, by the way?
No, but I've done one in my bed.
Well.
Just kidding. No.
I'm a big Matt Fink fan, but I'm staying out of his bed.
I want to get back to Wembley Stadium real fast, because what was that like? I mean, I keep talking about Wembley, but I'm connected to the Brits forever.
Did we play at Wembley Stadium?
Oh, yes, you did.
No, we didn't. We never played there. We played at the Wembley Arena.
That was like, the next door to it then?
The smaller arena is when we did
I've never been over there, man.
We did a zillion shows there.
Where was... How about in England and stuff? What was that like? Did you get...
Cool. I love England.
All right, wait
love
a minute.
London.
Wait a minute.
Japan?
Now.
Love it. I love all that stuff. It's fun. Cool place.
Australia?
Very nice.
The parade tour was outdoors at Wembley. I've heard that one of my friends might have a copy of that show.
The parade tour was outdoors at Wembley?
Hello.
No, it was indoors.
We'll tackle that on the next bit.
Indoors. In the arena.
Really?
Boy, if the Rubes out there could see the look on Steeler's face right now, it's just baffled right now.
Unless I forgot.
But you were heavy into Ecstasy on your ultrasound album, that tour.
No. Hey, favorite movie of the summer. You ever see that movie High Fidelity with the quizzes about the music and the top five lists and everything?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. What'd you think?
Very nice.
Cool.
Very good.
Shutting drummer up in a hurry.
No, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about.
All right, we want to thank you for coming by.
You're
Dr.
Welcome.
Fink, in and out of the hizzy. Dr. Fink, spelt out D-O-C-T-O-R, fink.com is where you can reach him. Starview Studios, you ever want to get a hold of him, reach Drummers, Steelers, we'll get you there. Absolutely a pleasure. Pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for stopping
Thanks,
by.
Thanks, Dr. Fink.
You're welcome.
All right, kids. So what'd you think?
You know, we might as well just have him part of the crew here. He said he'd sign up. We were outside the studio on the way out. We had a couple minutes with him. And
he's awesome.
Yeah. He said he'd be part of the show. And Lord knows where that's going to take us. But, we've got Dr. Fink in our corner, and we are loving it right now.
Just an average guy, very humble, you know. I mean, it's amazing talking to him. Him sitting here in studio... in the kitchen, and he's cool with everything, you know. It was phenomenal. I thank you so much for having the hookup with that drummer.
Yeah, no problem, Steelers. It was a pleasure to see you and him just having a great time here. And when I say a great time, there was no wall between said fan and said rock star. It was all just, we were all as one here, just in the studio. There's 100 pictures of Prince everywhere, you know, but as we told the doctor, that's the way it's been for a while.
Yeah, we weren't playing kiss-ass studio and setting stuff up. This is kind of the way things are around here and have been for a long, long time.
No, our intro music is a staple that we just absolutely love, and it's not going to be changed for anybody. So it was a beautiful thing. It sure made sense. I mean, the guy was out touring and traveling around at 16, you know, and all kinds of bands. I mean, he really did the miles.
What a life.
It's an ugly life, too. I mean, you can have all the money in the world, but it's tough, man. It's not easy.
Yeah, being part of Prince and the Revolution. Other than the talent, I'd be all over it.
How about the big question we asked him? Would he get back with him? He said yes.
Roadhouse Garden Tour 2008.
Loving
it. It's going to be the greatest ever world tour. Drummer and Steelers opening up for Prince and the Revolution. Oh, that's right. We got to come up with a band still, don't we?
No, we got X-Ray Hip to do that.
Absolutely. I'll have to find my way into that. Real Rube Radio, realrubradio.com. Drummer, Steelers, Doctor.
We just had Fink.
Fink.
Yeah, it was a great show, bud.
Dude kicks
Outstanding.
Ass.
Outstanding.
Names.
Dr. Fink from the Revolution. Can you believe that?
We'll be back after this. jam with a little Annie Christian circa 1981 controversy album with Dr. Fink playing keys, you say?
We had Dr. Fink. Ha ha. Your position has been usurped.
We'll be back. Today, ladies and gentlemen of RealRubRadio.com land, there's a little P-Funk, NPG, Prince of the Revolution, drummer, Steelers, what up?
Sounds like Drummer 21 on drums.
It's a little 12-inch remix, came out about 85. It's a 12-minute version of I Would Die For You they did in the studio. Never made the light of day, but Dr. Fink was all over it.
What would you ask Dr. Fink if he was still in studio, Steelers? What would you ask him?
If I could be his best friend. Could we record in his studio for free anytime we had some sort of idea?
That was great the way you dropped that on him, that we already had that inked.
Did you see the look on his face? He's like, I don't recall that. Wait a minute, I'm here to make money. A full album EP is only going to cost him about $8,000 for free. Oops.
And he's going to let a couple of bozos like you and me come into his beautiful studio. I don't think so.
What's this button do? Oh, by the way, we need you to play keys on these certain parts. I can't.
Steelers, you know, being in radio with you has been a rough ride. I mean,
it really has.
You had your own cubicle over there. We finally bonded and we got back on track. But yeah,
we're getting tight. But kind of like you and Rube Chat, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice work there. You've got a lot of fans.
Looks like Twins Gal's kind of come around now. She's she sent me kind of a surreal, kind of a non-chaotic post. Yeah. Kind of on my side.
Is it wrong that every time I turn on Rube Chat or flip on the computer and I see something by Radio Drummer, I kind of go, uh-oh.
Who is that guy? Some guy that thinks he's a great drummer and he loves radio. Yeah. I don't know.
Why is he stealing part of your moniker, by the way? You're drummer guy. He's radio drummer. And now you're in radio. It seems like you two are kind of in cahoots. You know anything about this guy?
Well, every once in a while, I'll have like a girlfriend over on weekends.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, you know, I'll go to the bathroom and try to freshen up and, you know, kind of get my game on and stuff. And I'll come back and there'll be this, like, this other
change
guy.
Change your pad and stuff.
This other guy with a wrestling mask is just, like, dashed out of my bedroom. And it's just like, this isn't working out.
Have you ever actually done that to a woman? Just, she knows nothing about you and, well, you're psychotic, let's be honest, but all of a sudden you roll out of the bedroom or the bathroom and you're wearing the mask.
Yes, I've done that quite a bit. It's really fun, man. Go ahead out there, you guys, and kind of liven up your lives in the bedroom a little bit. Go ahead and you won't do it. Huh? That's why you live that boring little life that you got out.
You know what? Right now you are on a roll from the stories we talk about.
Off air.
Off air. Drummer is like picking up chicks galore, and then there's me. I've got nothing going on.
Well, fat, middle-aged, tattooed, bald guys are in right now. So
is that what it is? I've got to go down to the parlor and get some ink.
Oh, Steelers, I got to tell you a quick story. I was out last a couple nights ago partying with Greg Dooley.
Afghan Wigs, you say?
Yeah, Twilight Singers over at the Varsity Theater, and it was a wonderful show. Unbelievable. Have you been to the Varsity Theater yet?
I think you know the answer to that.
It was a great show, and we had some time to kill afterwards. And Greg Dooley was in fine form. Got to spend some off-air time with him. What a rock star. One of my top five rock stars. But afterwards, I took the liberty to walk across the street to a place called The Library, right on the corner there in Dingytown.
I've been there.
Nothing but 21 nice. To like 25-year-old just alcohol infested, you know.
So what you're saying is you're going to be on Dateline on NBC next Thursday.
I walked in there just, you know, like you say, put the little camera on your baseball hat and just go walk through there. And, you know, folks, I'm 45 years old. I'm not hiding that. But I wanted to see a different perspective of what is going on if I was to have a kid in Dinkytown on any given, like, Thursday night. And the place was packed. People were trashed. It was, like, making out in corners. People were doing all. It was insane. But, you know, get ready for it if you got kids that are approaching the 21, 22. I'm sure it's happening when they're a little bit younger. But
speaking of the Dateline crack that I made at you. You know, and some of these guys, if you've seen that show.
Oh, I can't keep my
eyes
off it.
They're 31, you know, they're going after a 13-year-old. Yeah, I brought the booze, I brought the condoms, and then there's clown reporter sitting at the table going, what are you doing here, you know?
It's just the worst.
I mean, yeah, it's terrible, but at the same time, and this is a little bit off tone for this, but nowadays, chicks that are 15, 16, 17, they are full built. I mean, they look sure. Where, you know, I think I mentioned this before. There's a chick at the bank that I do business with, and, I mean, she's just hot. I mean, she's built. She's just a beautiful woman. And I'm guessing, you know, I don't know, maybe she's 28. You know, I'm trying not to, you know, you can't really go for the 21-year-old or the 18-year-old, obviously.
Uh-huh.
She's 21, and she looks like she's about 28. And then there's girls that are riding by on their bicycles or walking home from school, that you really don't know if they are 15 or if they're 25. I mean, that's got to be tough for guys these days in that age group.
Yeah, and if you're a dad out there, you got to school your son and let him know that once you turn 18, it's a new ball game, and that goes for all this internet crap that's going on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You have to watch over him like a hawk, man, because it's your responsibility to tell your son how to treat women. And now I'm no expert, but I've learned a few things along the way. And you do,
son. You got to wear that mask.
Yeah, you got to wear that mask. And I tell you, when you're 18, guess what? You've got to talk to 18-year-old and older. You're done with the 16. You're done with the 15, and so forth. So
well, and that's got to be tough too. Think if you're 18 or you know 18, 19, 20, and you're dating someone that's 17. Let's say you're a senior to a sophomore.
Uh-huh.
You have sex with them. If things don't go right, she gets wacky, tells her parents you raped her, you're screwed, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
I mean, you are, even though, you know, you're within a two-year window, but because you're over 18, they're under 18, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you got to walk the straight line these days, and the moral compass has to be up for a lot of these kids. It's not easy. Can you imagine? I've got a 10-year-old that recently, you know, what the rumor I had heard was... you know, all his buddies.
Keep talking. I need to grab a beer.
Sure. I heard a rumor about, you know, a little drummer boy was talking with his buddies and stuff. And, you know, a lot of these guys were talking about, you know, can I say boobs on the radio? I don't know. I just
tits,
did.
Breast,
yeah.
Rack.
So, you know, and then I guess when, you know, he pops a direction, it's not an erection, it's a direction. So he doesn't quite have that figured out. But so it's starting to happen already, and we're having a real big talk real soon. It looks
like. Does
that
freak you out a little bit? Because things have changed so much where, you know, you would think, well, you know, the old ma-paw saying, well, we got to tell them about the birds and the bees
when
they're
18.
About 15, 16, 17. Now,
it's 10, 9, 10.
People are having sex at 11 years old. I mean, your kid's one year away from all of a sudden getting in the fray, so to speak.
Yeah, you're not making it up, man. Things have changed, and
that's
do have
insanity.
To stay on that big time. And it's no secret if you don't.
Why do you think that is? You going to blame video games, DVDs, and TV shows? Or is it just that everybody's growing up in technology age? Every kid has a computer. You know, he's got a DVD player. He's got a CD player. He's probably got a damn iPod, a cell phone, all this stuff that
we
didn't
have. All this
ADD
stuff, you know, this attention deficit stuff that I'm not really familiar with.
No.
But, yeah, I have no comment. I'm done with it. I got to have a big talk with the kids soon. You know, the thing is that you talk about, oh, God, the girls are bigger nowadays or they look older. You know what? It's not true. We had great-looking girls when we were back in the day, man. And, you know, we can go about round and round on that. You still have to...
Every girl that had a rack when I was in high school also had a lot of other stuff around the rack.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they're 110 pounds and they've got rack.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the food we eat?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I don't know.
Dr. Drummer.
No. I don't want to talk about young girls anymore. I'm done with it.
We're getting into a weird area, you
That's,
say?
For once, you finally found a topic that I'll shut my mouth on. Rubes, you just witnessed it.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Are you having fun on Rube Chat, Steelers, this week? Anything that comes to mind this week on Rube Chat?
You know what? I've been so busy pacing back and forth, worrying about having Dr. Fink in the studio. I haven't been on Rube Chat a lot. Last Friday, I posted like 105 times.
And for those out there that don't know about Rube Chat, because there are listeners all around the world now.
KFAN.com, when it rolls up, about the fifth little wording over across the top, you'll see Rube Chat. Click on it. Your life will never be the same.
Yeah, you click on it, and you get into a little bubble, and I don't know. It's no big deal. But that's you can have some fun with that from anywhere. So
it's no big deal. This is a guy that doesn't care about anything, and he posts now more than I do.
I only care about myself on that.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. What would you ask Radio Drummer? What pair of shoes should Radio Drummer wear tonight?
Hey, folks out there, they're having a kickball contest. I mean, come on. This is the biggest event.
Oh, yeah,
of these,
you've got me there.
You know, this is the biggest. They got a lottery for this.
Team Real Rube Radio.
Your thoughts?
You know what? It's
what about
I don't know. What the about team's the dirty... probably going to be crappy. The Dirty Butt Lurkers, is that what it's called? I don't know.
The Dirty Butt Lurkers. Yeah.
But we're going to have the coolest shirts out there. And you know, someone said, "What was Steelers thinking when he drafted this team?" Well, it in a post, people can
speaking
read it.
Of draft. Come on, man! You let me fall to the fourth position.
You know
that
what?
Sounds like a Twister game happening.
All right, let's
be
honest here.
Right now,
I'll tell you the truth here. The reason why I didn't pick you right off the bat was because I figured it was kind of an unwritten rule. Team Real Rube Radio. Well, who's on Real Rube Radio? Drummer and Steelers.
So
you don't pick Drummer. He has to be on the team.
Yeah,
so I thought, you know, I got to take Milky. You know, he's 8 feet tall, 700 pounds. Hopefully he's good.
So
I don't
you assumed
know.
I was just going to be on.
I just assumed that you would not be picked because
long story
other
short, Steelers guy had to trade. Mom, I was traded for a case of beer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're giving yourself way too much credit. I changed that. It's a 12-pack of beer.
And it's St. Pauli girl at that.
Yeah. No, I drafted Danny Welch guy. He's got a broken foot because he dropped a bowling ball on his foot. During bowling, obviously.
What a moron.
So he didn't let me in on any of that information, so I drafted him. Then he's like, oh, by the way, I might be out.
What's his bowling average?
You know what? He's actually really good. He's
cool.
Hit like two or three 300 games.
Wow.
We're happy for him.
Cool.
But, yeah, nobody cares about this, but, well, you and I do, so.
You know, you and I have shut, you and I, we turned off the spigot for sports in this town, and we're not even mad about it. But we got nothing going on here. The Twins are.
Let's talk sports.
They hit a grand slam yesterday. And that's about all I got there.
Let's talk some Timberwolves.
Nothing there. Nothing at all. Kevin Garnett's going to have a great summer off. Spend a lot of money.
Golden Gopher football?
Possibly a new stadium. Next.
Minnesota Vikings?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Minnesota Wild?
Actually, let's back up to the Vikes. Brad Johnson looks great on TV last week. He's going to have a big year.
He's a stiff.
No, I think he's going to be okay. Ugh. He's got to stay injury-free, you know.
Yeah, well, tell that to a 38-year-old person playing. I get injured getting out of my car.
Yeah, you get injured getting off that chair you're sitting in right there. Here's the deal. Those players are bigger, faster, stronger than when Brad Johnson came into the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are like locomotives out there. Good luck, dude. Next.
Wait,
TC Rollers.
TC Rollers. How are they doing?
We got a big event tonight up in Coon Rapids, Minnesota.
You going to be there?
Yes, I'm going out there after the show tonight. There's a bunch of things going on in Minneapolis. We got the La Cirque
I'm
Rouge.
I'm afraid of Minneapolis.
La Cirque Rouge burlesque show going on. It's Arts of World.
What do you dress up as?
I just come out in a t-shirt and jeans today. Sweet. No big deal.
Maybe you playing the drums
maybe
tonight?
Maybe a Coldplay t-shirt. No, actually the burlesque show, the LaCirqueRouge.net.
Hot bitches everywhere.
Yeah, they want to get Dr. Fink to play. You know, well, everybody wants the Fink, man.
Dr. Fink is going to be a staple on this show.
Yeah.
That's I mean, how about news. That?
We signed him over waters today in the green room. And we'd like to wish a happy birthday to the better half of Dr. Fink, his beautiful wife.
His beautiful wife, and he's got beautiful children, he's got a beautiful house, and he's got a beautiful song right here. This song is what we call funky. It's Sonic Rave. You're listening to Real Rube Radio. RealRubeRadio.com is where you find it. Drummer, Steelers, 38 Spit.
My favorite Rube of the week, the real Ted Bundy. I love you, dude. You rock. And then Stardog, you're my guy.
Stardog.
There is a god in Stardog.
I see we're back at it again. We'll be right back. We're
going to
burn. Should we burn one more segment?
Yeah, let's hang out, man.
Yeah, why not? Real Loop Radio. RealLoopRadio.com. Drummer Steelers. Just kind of...
We're gonna grind on each other.
Going with the flow after the doctor left the house. Ain't no illness around here. We'll be back. Says to all the guests,
hello, hello, hello.
Oh, hello. Real Loop Radio, realloopradio.com. What up, homies? Drummer Steelers. A segment we call the Dope Show. What do you got, drummer?
I'm still blown away by the in-studio performance and appearance by Mr. Matt Dr. Fink.
The Fink Man.
Okay, we can cross him off the list. Now we got to go after Bobby Z. I think we can get him.
We can get Bobby Z. We've got to do that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and then Mark Brown is probably in town.
Or Brown Mark, one of the two. I know, you look at it and go, oh, he went forward to back, back to forward. It's actually Brown Mark.
Yes, right. And Lisa and Wendy, possibly California bound.
Yeah, I think, how about Prince? You think we can... get him here?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes, I think we can get him.
Really?
You don't think we could, huh?
You think I was nervous with Matt Fink in studio? The purple man across from me? I wouldn't even be able to talk.
Oh,
you'd
come
be doing
on,
the
man.
Entire interview.
Yeah, I'd take over from there. I'd say, Prince, what's up, man? I used to come out to your studio and eat your food all the time. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, Holmes?
No, it was a great time with the doctor today. And Steelers, you handled yourself well. I was very impressed.
We could land Bobby Z. That would actually be cool, too.
Yeah.
We've got to do that. We've got to get the crack staff. 38 spit. You might want to figure out a way to...
38 special. Go ahead and take next week off. It seems to me that we've got this thing rolling down the tracks pretty good right now. I mean the pressure's off you, so...
She's in Austin at another Chris Hawkey show. You'd think one would be enough last night. By the way, Molly Hatchet rolled up on stage with them. It was actually pretty cool. One of the dudes, I think it's the lead singer, Molly Hatchet.
Where were you at?
He Renegades in Burnsville, or Savage, wherever
Burnsville,
it's located.
Minnesota?
Correct.
Okay.
Burnsville, Minnesota. Sorry, I forgot. What's up, New York? What's up, L.A.? What's up, Boston? What's up, Washington?
How was Hawk last night? Did he blow it up?
You know what? It was actually very, very cool.
Is he still skinny? He's lost a lot of weight.
You know what? He's doing all right. And the weird thing is the first six songs he did off a new CD, I forget the title of it.
The thing sounds big.
His new CD, he played the first six songs of the show off of that album. And one's called Rockstar, and it's an awesome song. Then the second one, I'm like, it's all right. Third one, once again, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's you could almost hear it on Drive 105. I mean, it's very, very close. I mean, actually, they've come a long way from the CDs where they started recording. It was very, very solid.
The thing with Chris Hawkey is, and I've had a chance to play with Chris in some bands in the past, and I love him. The music Chris records is as good as anything in the world, man. It can be on any radio station. The problem is, he works in radio.
Correct.
And there's a lot of political baloney that goes on behind the scenes, and it's nothing nobody can control, but... If it was up to me, I'd walk into any station in the country, and I could pick them out if you told me the formats. Chris has several songs that would fit on many different formats.
So, well, you're big on corporate America, as we all know.
No, it's you don't. I get kind of riled up when I think no. about getting your songs played on the radio. What's so hard about that, folks out here in radio?
Well, you know what, and that's what I was trying to ask. I don't even know if we got to it with Matt Fink. Was the same thing on, you know, his new proteges, the people that he's working with. How do you actually nowadays? How do you even get it out there? Because you've got to have Warner Brothers, Elektra, A&R, you've got to have something big, and it's not even the music anymore. You've got to have the stupid-ass video. You know, you've got to have a promotion machine working for you, or you have no chance, and that's what sucks about music nowadays. The true artists, the best musicians, will go unsigned, and no one will ever hear of them.
Yeah, I was at a record store the other night, and I heard, you know, from the horse's mouth at the retail industry.
Mr. Ed?
For, wee! I always love petting the soft noses.
Wilbur.
Wilbur, you say. Wilbur. No, these record stores are going down, man. It's unfortunate. It used to be great, and you still can do it. Maybe they'll survive, but it's tough. I mean, they're making like a dime on an album or whatever
they make.
You think
they're going to survive, though?
It's looking
bad. The internet's killing it.
It is.
You know?
And the internet's great. It's a two-headed sword there. These guys, you got the kids today who they don't have the attention. They're going to go and just download it just like this.
Right.
Boom, bang,
yep.
Boom, bang, boom. Hey, burn this, burn that. Nobody wants to buy it. I went out and bought Bull Bice last week. And
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I enjoyed every second of it. You take your money, go down to the record store, pick a record out that a song got you going, and buy the record, man. Still do it.
Is it wrong that I don't dig? Well, you know, we're listening to Bull Bice in the background. It's decent. It's fine. We're happy for it.
You never even heard it.
I'm irritated by the American Idol thing. You know, Kelly Clarkson, she's mainstream now. We're happy for her as
That's
well.
That's great. She parlayed.
But the whole contest thing, the rock star in excess thing.
Did you fight into that?
No. If INXS was playing in my backyard, I would shut the blinds. You know, because it's Michael Hutchence, who passed away, obviously. That was his band. He was the focal point. He was the voice for it. And if you listen to, I don't know, something Las Vegas song, whatever they have that was semi-popular, the dude is just trying to be the old lead singer of INXS. I don't understand. Find your own identity.
Well, like the replacement singer for Journey, and I didn't go see that,
right.
Sounds just like Steve Perry.
He does, and, you know, I guess, you know, that's okay. You know, everybody's got to make
a buck. How about Alice in Chains? I think they were a band. Was it Alice in Chains?
Yeah, well, Alice in Chains lost, good for me doing homework. I know the guy's name, but he had a heroin overdose.
I heard that they were going to do it, some shows.
Yeah, well, Alice in Chains was wonderful, but I think, once again, it was the lead singer. That voice, you always knew who you were listening to. Kind of like Van Halen, you'd hear the drum or the guitar lick, and nobody would even have to speak, and you'd know you were listening to a new Van Halen track.
Yeah. Van Halen could still put it together and do a big tour, but with David Lee Roth, it would still be a blast, wouldn't it?
You know what? David Lee Roth would be absolutely wonderful. But he's just a pain in the ass. Even Sammy Hagar, who obviously fronted Van Halen, they did the Sam and Dave tour, if you remember, a couple years ago. He was on a KQ in the morning or something, and he was saying, I can't do it anymore. This guy is nuts.
Hagar was big way before. He was in Montrose. He had his own, yeah. You know, he's a rockin' dude way before Van Halen, so
he can't drive 55, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that tour. It wasn't a bad fit, but I didn't like Van Halen after that with all the keyboard stuff. When you put their first record up, Van Halen's first record, Guns N' Roses' first record,
Appetite for Destruction.
You talk first records. You know, I'll go ahead and throw Oasis' first record. Definitely, maybe.
Yeah.
You tell me. You got some of your first favorites? Can you come off the bit?
You know what? For those about to rock, we salute you. AC/DC. It wasn't their first album, obviously, but that one hit me. Even Van Halen, Diver Down, which was almost
the first
like
Kiss record hit me for a while because I was 14 years old. Yeah. I mean, everything hits you.
I didn't dig Kiss until it was Kiss Alive 3. Remember the old album that you'd open up and it showed the stage that they played on?
Yeah.
It was massive. It was a live album, two or three at that time albums. And I thought that was awesome. First records, you got to go with Appetite for Destruction, you know. First mainstream album for Nirvana. never mind, even though they had lithium before that. But the, when they finally hit the scene, that was huge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know who else to say. I mean, it's all rock bands, because when they hit, you remember it.
Okay. You think Taylor Hicks, have you been watching American Idol recently?
I have not watched 1 second of American Idol for the last 2 years.
You know, it's not like I told you so, but I like Taylor Hicks from the beginning, from the very beginning.
Is that
when
the
he
chick
came
or
out,
the dude?
The guy. The guy with the salt and pepper hair, you know. But I liked him from the beginning.
He's got funky teeth, too, doesn't
kinda
he?
Kind of predicted it. No, that was Elliot.
Oh.
So, kind of predicted that.